Thank you for joining us at U Inc. My name is Rhea Greif, and I'm here with you today, as I am every week, to help build the most important brand in your life, which is you. When we talk about building, we use tools, and the same goes for building our brand. These wellness tools will help elevate your emotional intelligence and help to develop a positive-minded outlook and have you better equipped for life and business. Some of these tools you will find helpful today, and some you'll drop in a tote for another time depending on when you'll need to pull it out. This week's tool is satisfaction, and why it is important to derive joy and satisfaction from your life and at work in order to find your bliss, but also to have satisfied customers, which leads to loyalty and success and meeting lucrative goals. This program will provide you with the tools you need to provide excellent service and customer satisfaction, and being able to provide satisfaction to those we choose to serve is what I will demonstrate to you that you can do, and that being able to do so is a great tool for your brand. Okay, customer satisfaction. Here at U Inc., we believe that work is as important as our personal lives. In fact, most of us don't really make that distinction anymore. And while I applaud a new labor law that took effect in France last week that gives employees the right to disconnect from email, smartphones, and other electronic leashes once their working day has ended, more and more of us are entrepreneurs. In 2015, 310 out of 100,000 adults, or 31%, started a new business each month. Startups don't have the luxury of doing this, of disconnecting. Moreover, as Artie Isaac of Vistage Worldwide and creativity trainer for CEOs, who was on our show for a segment on Generation, said, the newer generations of workers prefer not to draw lines or boundaries between work, life, and play. They all happily meld together. The idea that a person's work life and personal life will not intermingle is unrealistic today. Most people share a simple and similar desire to create easy joy and meaningful engagement between the interconnected roles, relationships, and responsibilities that make up our lives. An article in Forbes magazine acknowledges that work-life integration is currently the holy grail, not work-life balance, where professionals have to blend what they do personally and professionally in order to make both work and life interesting. It is also of interest to note that the individuals who were on the conference call for the interviews in that article that I mentioned were all on vacation and calling in. So, our customers are basically everyone. Our customers are our family, our friends, our LinkedIn network, our community-supported agriculture clients, our patients, our Uber Eats takeout orderers, our house cleaners, the teachers of our children, our lovers, our bosses, our colleagues, our subordinates, and even ourselves. So let us explore how we can build and maintain customer satisfaction. We want our customers to be satisfied. The world is a highly competitive place, and the quality of customer service is what may help U Inc. retain or lose a valued customer. In the book by Caroline Webb, How to Have a Good Day, takes it even further by saying that all the empirical studies on psychological well-being direct us to the quality of relationships being the foundation of happiness. A good conversation can encourage us, amuse us, fill us with pride and purpose, and help us create wealth. And I don't mean just financial richness. There are many types of wealth out there. Our affinity with others is what our highly social brains are wired for. In the book, Smarter, Faster, Better by Charles Duhigg, makes it clear that satisfaction is about making certain choices in certain ways. The way we choose to see ourselves and frame daily decisions, the stories we tell ourselves, and the easy goals that we ignore, the sense of community we build among teammates, the creative cultures we establish as leaders, these are the things that create satisfaction. And of course, you can find all the books and articles mentioned in today's program on wcbe.org/programs/U-Inc. And our previous episodes and podcasts at our sister publication as well, cityscenecolumbus.com. So here are some choices you can make for success and satisfaction. Your customers need to, first, feel welcome. They've already selected your goods and services. It's important that they feel as if part of what they have invested in is your responsiveness. Two, to feel understood. Your empathy, putting yourself in others' shoes, is integral to helping others feel that you understand their frustration and their joys and what they're going through. To be comforted is third. They come to you to be taken care of in a positive, supportive manner. Remember, you're providing them your services after you've asked them to select you. You assured them that they would receive this. And finally, to feel important. Certainly, you have a great deal of customer contact each day, but it's important to remember to treat each one as if his or her issue is the most important thing you need to take care of. On a final note, you don't have to do any of the above. You can simply make the choice to no longer work with this customer. And that is fine if you have made that choice. Just be sure to let your customer know that so that they are free to move on to enjoy someone else's services. Happiness is not a goal. It's a byproduct of a life well lived. And that is a quote from former First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt. Anything I want. Cause I know I need it. It's easy coming and I know you hate it. Anything I need, gotta have it, bet I'm gonna grab it. Ain't nothing better than the satisfaction. Everything I am, just because I had to make it happen. They never thought that I would make it rapping. Anything I need, gotta have it, bet I'm gonna grab it. Ain't nothing better than the satisfaction. Jim Vaive has no doubt been a thought leader on emotional intelligence, spiritual development, and uplifting people for decades. He has served the Kairos Prison Ministry. He served as past board member for Kairos Ohio and Kairos USA, as well as past board member of Ross and Southern Ohio Correctional Institutes through his Everyday People Ministries, which he is currently an executive director of. Jim journeys with individuals on a regular basis, providing spiritual and emotional coaching through his training and certifications from the 6 Seconds Model of Emotional Intelligence. Lynn Vaive completed a master's certificate in the Lean Six Sigma Healthcare through Villanova University in 2010 and completed emotional and spiritual intelligence training with coaching certificates from the International Coach Federation in 2016, as well as Jim Vaive. Lynette is also certified as a medical technologist by the American Society for Clinical Pathology and holds a certification in infection control from the Certification Board of Infection Control and Epidemiology. And they are married and here today with us. Welcome, Jim and Lynette.
Hey, hi, how are you?
Thank you, Rhea.
So I'd like to kind of start right off the bat to find out, Lynette, are you satisfied with your life?
I am actually very satisfied, Rhea. Been through some several changes in our own lives and making choices that are taking us toward greater satisfaction both in our work and in our personal lives.
Great. I can't wait to hear more about that. What about you, Jim?
Yes, I'm satisfied as well. And the reason being is because I had been doing so many things simultaneously that I was not really being functional in any of them. So as I started narrowing down the funnel and focusing on one thing, my satisfaction level went up the same way.
Interesting. So you both work with challenging populations that have experienced letdowns in all of their relationships and dealings with others. How does one begin the long road back to believing that life can be joyful and satisfying, particularly when we're talking about populations who have done time, who may not have a job, have burned bridges with loved ones, and might not even have a safe place to stay? How does that happen? How do you help people rebuild that?
Jim, do you want to answer that first, and then I'll add to that?
One of the things that has to happen for anybody, but since we're talking about this people group, is hope. They have to have hope. And how do you instill hope? You have to help them identify something called a noble goal. A noble goal is an overarching sense of purpose. It has to replace behaviors and thoughts and feelings that they've had up until that time.
And this, you know what this reminds me of? I was reading in one of these books, I can't remember which one it was, but it was about Marines and what they go through. Mm-hmm. And during the times of really challenging moments, you know, the commander said, ask why. Why are you doing this? Why are you helping me? And they come up with that noble goal, because I want to go back and be honored, you know, with my family members. So that makes a lot of sense, that noble goal.
And it always is in front of you. You can pull it out mm-hmm. at any time.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes as we're working toward a noble goal, we'll never complete it in our lifetime, but those short increments can really help. And sometimes it helps when we're working with people to just ask them, you know, what would you like to see happen in the next week, next month? Where is it you'd like to see, so that they can have a little bit of a respite and take a deep breath? Okay, I got here and I accomplished this much, and now somebody's heard me and I can move forward.
Mm-hmm. And then also by asking them, what would you like to see happen? They feel that they're making that choice. And when people feel like they're in control and they're making those choices, they're more motivated to complete that.
And also somebody's hearing them.
Right, right. So important. Jim and Lynette, in consulting, you've helped thousands of people with spiritual and emotional needs. What have you seen as being the main stressors for people? Like, what is like kind of the main thing that you might see that as to the reason why people don't feel satisfaction in their lives?
I think one of the things that has really stood out to me is the need for achievement. Based on what we've learned through childhood and maybe reinforced through parents, well-meaning, and teachers, friends, and so forth, many people have a standard that's impossible for them to reach. And so rather than being grateful for each little thing that they're able to do each day, there's this huge mountain that they don't feel worthy to climb, or they haven't been successful in climbing. And so they're not satisfied because that's always still out there.
There's also something else that's happening in our country mm-hmm. that's a natural disenfranchisement, okay? And that is, let's assume that somebody from one of these groups that we're talking about is watching HGTV, and they see all these wonderful things that they can buy and do to their house. And the one thing for the sink cost $400. And they don't even have $400 to buy groceries for the month. What do they start feeling about themselves, their family, and their place in life?
Do you think this is a large part due to the disparity that we're seeing contemporarily?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think it has to do with the disparity that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. Because we're setting up categories of people intentionally.
So in your experience, what would be one of the most easily fixable problems that people can deal with, or that they maybe can just kind of shake certain things off? What would be one of those things?
Turn off the news. Turn off listening to other people's opinions about what they need to be doing.
I agree. What about you, Lynette?
I would say the ability to recognize that they have choices. Even though circumstances are somewhat fixed for them, they have choices in how they respond. They have choices in what they choose to let bother them. And they have choices in taking whatever power they have personally to make changes.
As emotional intelligence experts, I want to go back to some of the items that we discussed at the beginning of the show. And we refer to people as customers, and they need certain things in order to be satisfied with us and what we refer to as the service that we provide to people. So in order for satisfaction to occur in people, we said they needed four things: to feel welcome, to feel understood, to feel important, to feel comforted. So what I would like to do, since you guys are experts and I really enjoy speaking with people who have high emotional intelligence, how do each of you manifest this in your lives, both personally and professionally? And then by extension, of course, this turns into a recommendation for choices that people can make to actualize some of these things in their own lives. So we'll do these one at a time. So how do you help people feel welcome, your customers? This is basically everyone around you. How do you help them feel welcome, Lynette?
I think one of the things that's most important for me is presence. So if I'm with them, I do my very best to be fully with them. And that means I don't take a phone call in the middle of it and don't stop and text somebody. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to listen both with my face and facial expression and all my body language, as well as all my thought processes.
Right, because a lot of times those nonverbal cues speak volumes over than what we're actually saying. What about you? How do you help your customers feel welcome?
So 7% of what you get from me right now, Rhea, is from my speaking.
Mm-hmm.
You're watching me. You're watching my facial expressions, my body language. That is the rest of what you're getting from me. And if my body language is saying something different than my voice or my words, you'll pick that up. All of us have the ability to pick that up. And we disengage at that moment from the person that we're talking to. So there is nothing there for us to feel connected to.
So, for example, people have their arms crossed when they're making grimacing faces, when they're looking away, when, like you said, taking a phone call, making a text. Those are some of the examples of what you're talking about.
Yes, and those are shut off examples.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We shut off at that moment.
Mm-hmm. How do we use nonverbal cues to welcome someone?
You open your hands mm-hmm. up and put your palms up.
Mm-hmm.
You smile. You shake your head. Yes. You do those kinds of things to make space for people to move into.
Okay, second one. The other thing that our customers, again, this is everyone around us, including ourselves, how do we help them feel understood? Jim?
Well, the only way that you can help somebody feel understood is to ask questions. Because although we all are wired to understand intuition, and that means our sense of what we think is going on, we have to ask questions. So, Rhea, what was that expression I just saw go across your face? What did you just feel?
So what I was thinking about was, you know, empathy. A lot of people think that empathy is ESP, extrasensory perception, and it's not. You have to really ask those questions to really understand what's going on. And when you ask those questions, people do feel like not only that you're listening, but you're really in tune with what's going on with them.
Yes, but so then we take it a step further. You don't ask just one question. You have to ask more than a question because mm-hmm. a person gives you that kind of empathetic response. Mm-hmm. So why were you thinking about empathy?
Because I think that's how people feel when that they're understood, when people can demonstrate that they understand where you are at, where you are.
And that means something to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Lynette, how do you demonstrate that people feel understood?
I use a lot of reflective listening, so I'll repeat back parts of what I heard. But in addition to that, I'm also questioning what I'm hearing in between the words and sometimes in between the sentences. So I might say, so I think I'm understanding that you're talking about empathy as something that's very important to you and that you're sitting with and also working through and picking up cues as you go along and as you work with people in, for example, in the studio here today.
Mm-hmm. So then the more you do it, the more you elevate your own emotional intelligence by having those interactions with others and asking those questions and finding out those hits and misses. And you kind of fine-tune that intuition as well.
Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Next one is to feel comforted. How do you help people feel comforted?
Well, I think that's one of the major impacts of expressing empathy. And empathy is, for us, it means coming alongside someone. There's a video clip that we use sometimes where someone's looking down the dark hole and saying, oh, sorry, you're there. Want a sandwich?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to climbing down in the hole and just sitting next to the person. So to be comforted does not mean I can come in and fix anything for you.
Mm-hmm.
It means I acknowledge your pain and what you're going through right now.
Okay. And Jim, how do you offer your support to help people feel comforted?
Well, interestingly enough, I can give you a fast story. Can I do that?
I love it. Yeah.
Okay. So Lynette and I were just at an international conference in Italy. Okay. We got off the plane. We stopped at this little great Italian town, had a nice little lunch, came out. Our car had been broken into and everything we had been stolen.
Mm.
All of our equipment that we were doing a major presentation with, all of our clothes, all of our personal effects. I had a pair of shorts and a t-shirt on. I ended up wearing that for 3 days, by
the
way. But here's the point that I would make to that. We started laughing. Okay. We said, you know, this is so cool. Gives us an opportunity to, you know, live in non-attachment.
Right.
And then, but then we went to the place that we were staying, and there was some Italians there that were hosting this conference, and they were so upset that this had happened in their country.
Sure.
And we ended up comforting them.
Ah.
We said, you know what? It's not you. It's mm-hmm. the situation that we're in. It's okay. We'll get through it. We have you as friends. How could it get any better?
Okay. And then the last one is to feel important. So how do we help people understand that each person is important to us? And everyone feels special. How do you help people feel important? Lynette?
I would say, again, it's partly that sense of presence that I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to let something else take precedence over this conversation that we're having right now, for
mm-hmm.
example. And it's listening. Some of the things that we've already talked about, actually hearing, paying attention to what they're saying, having a conversation that goes back and forth so that we're both engaged and it's very obvious we're engaged, and that there's nothing more important in this moment than the conversation I'm having with you.
Right, being fully present. How do you help people feel important, Jim?
So what I'm going to say might sound, because of the way that it's been overused in our society, as manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. What we do and what we should all be doing is looking for something that's important to the person we're talking to and noticing that and paying attention to it. Because if they have a problem with a certain way of acting or speaking and we can pick that up, we should not address that or be close to talking about it. We have to be respectful of people's journeys
mm-hmm.
and to make them feel welcome, to make them feel part of the journey that they're having with us at the moment.
And, you know, you say that word manipulating, and oftentimes I try to use that word, but it has that negative connotation. So the way I say it is manage, which seems to be a little bit less nefarious than manipulating.
So you're managing the relationship at the moment that you're sitting there having it.
Right, right.
Because it's going to change. You'll get up, walk out of the room, and it'll be different tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the next question that I have is, I want to know, first of all, you guys are both amazing. Where can people go to get more information about developing their emotional intelligence and taking this SEI assessment? Can you tell us more about this assessment as well?
You can go to our website, which is www.spiritofeq.com, and we have links there and our contact information on our website. We would be happy to give you an assessment. The cost is on the website as well. We also will have some trainings around the city of Columbus over the next year, so those will be posted on our website. Those will be at very low cost, probably about $20 per person. So some things that we do to give back to the community as well as make a living.
Yes, absolutely. And what is an SEI assessment?
An SEI assessment is called a SEI.
Mm-hmm.
And a SEI is also six in Italian. So there's a story behind that.
Love to hear.
And the story is that our amygdala tends to react to danger or other kinds of stimulus. And it's there to protect us, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
There is part of our brain that can override that. It takes 6 seconds.
Ah, very good.
But you have to learn how to use that part of your brain. And in the assessment that we have, which is called a SEI, it tells you how to use those competencies to work with all of your emotions.
A question that I have is, do highly emotionally intelligent married people argue?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you think that you're more better equipped to be able to resolve things, though, when those things happen?
Yes and no. I think that just because you're emotionally intelligent doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes. So EQ is just being smarter with feelings and being able to recognize, oops, I stepped in it today.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I didn't put the seat on the toilet down. All right. Or on and on and on. And then you have to deal with the outcomes of that. What we probably tend to do, and Lynette can obviously chime in and give her opinion because I'm sure it's going to be different than mine, is that we recognize that we've made a mistake and that we need to talk about it. And sometimes it's not very pleasant, but we do it.
Right.
And I think the thing that is really good is that we both recognize that we have patterns that don't involve each other And when we step into each other's patterns, we're not ready to admit it in the moment, but we get there more quickly than we did before we kept practicing, because this is a journey that you have to keep practicing on. And so navigating our emotions to get back to a place of what our real goal here is to be in harmony with each other,
mm-hmm.
not to be right.
So when you say people have their own patterns, so each one of us has something that we're working through. So we have our own patterns. And so sometimes other people step into that and they might take it personally, but realize, no, this is just what I'm dealing with and just moving on, kind of thing.
That, as well as acknowledging, okay, I've got a pattern. Do I want to look at that and lay down a new neural pathway and just let that old one wither and die so it's not a problem?
Right.
So 12-step program. Mm-hmm. Okay, one of the things... No, seriously.
Yeah, okay.
That's one of the things that they do. They want you to lay down a new neural pathway so you do not repeat the behavior that got you into trouble. So patterns can hook us.
Mm-hmm.
They can be good patterns. They can be patterns that are destructive to us. Or they can be in between. We have to be able to figure out how to navigate those patterns.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a very powerful statement to say that we have the ability. We are the architects of our own minds, and we do have this ability to change it. We're not stuck with who we are right now. And when we choose to do something different, we have the ability to do it. It's just a matter of like redoing the same behavior over and over again until it becomes a new pattern.
Yeah, that's why we say do it for 30 days.
Right, 30. That's generous because 21 is all you really need, but it's good to give that cushion. Okay, Jim, I have to say my question that I have to ask you. So you just stepped down from your position from Barman Card, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what prompted this move? Because I would be remiss to my animal friends, my fellow earthlings, if I did not wonder if it was because you developed emotional intelligence that you saw that these animals were being hurt and they have the right to have babies and shelter and seek food just like the rest of us.
I think it's a fair question.
Okay.
And the answer is yes. That was one of my motivations. I have always... Since I become more and more aware of what's going on with all creatures, it's been very hard for me to see some of the things that we have to do. And although I have to be honest and say that there's not a lot of choices to what we were doing because we were providing a service, it was very hard for me personally. To see the outcomes.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I was afraid to ask that question, but I knew I had to ask it. I appreciate it. So I guess...
You know why I was willing to share it, don't you?
Why?
Because you made space for me to come into and trust you.
Thank you. And I just want to say about space, thank you so much. One of my favorite times being with guests has been with the two of you today. It just feels good being with these guys in the room. To all the listeners out there, it feels good just to be with them. Thank you for being here today and sharing your space with our listeners, and keep up the great work. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us on the show today.
Thanks.
And then just touch me till I can get my satisfaction. Push me, and then just hurt me, till I can get my satisfaction.
And now for a word from our person on the street.
Okay, so Jim, tomorrow's Mother's Day, and we just got done working in Mother Earth. So what are your thoughts on the tool satisfaction, and maybe as it might pertain to your mom?
Well, like everybody else's mom, I probably got the greatest mom in the world. She helped me with all the key things I needed to learn to grow up to who I am today. Mom wasn't always the greatest to get her hands dirty in the garden, but she was always there for our relationships with my large family, our extracurricular family, and people outside our family were always welcome. Mom was always the one to show us what it is to be good, pretty much.
So it's safe to say you're pretty satisfied with your mom?
I got the best mom.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
And that's our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Rhea Greif, and you've been listening to You Inc. on 90.5 WCBE.